This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
You know, we'll go through some of the numbers, obviously. Jeff will have the head coach. But right now, they're about to honor Brad Meester. They've got one of every jersey type that the Jaguars have worn in his time here. And this really is a great opportunity for one of the really good players in Jaguars history. And let's check in with Brent Martineau.
Hey there, Brian, down on the field where the ceremony is going on right now. And of course, we talked in our pregame show earlier today about one of the good players, but really one of the good guys in Jacksonville Jaguars franchise history. I think everybody would say that. 14 years for Brad Meester. Like you mentioned, the jersey's being held up right now. The entire football team surrounding Brad Meester right now as well. Head coach Gus Bradley has hung out here. General manager Dave Caldwell, too. So a very unusual scene to see all the players out on the field still this late. They're usually in the locker room, but they are definitely commemorating and celebrating 14 years for Brad Meester. They wanted to send him out with a win. They couldn't do it. 20-16, they lose to the Tennessee Titans, but it was pretty special earlier in the day, of course, still because of him catching that pass, and he got a standing ovation for catching that, and then after that, they chanted his name, Meester, 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 so still pretty cool. Josh Scobie right now addressing the crowd. Let's listen in.
There's not a better teammate that I've had in the 10 years for someone to look up to as a role model. Brad's professionalism, his athleticism, as you saw in that catch, and his friendship is going to be missed in Jacksonville. And I just hope I'm still playing whenever your name is going right up there, Brad. So on behalf of your teammates, we just want to say congratulations on a great career with the Jaguars. You get to retire as a Jaguar. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm not big on speeches, so this is going to be quick. I've been truly blessed, and it's been a true honor to be able to play my entire career in Jacksonville. This is a tremendous city, a tremendous town, and I'm absolutely honored to be able to play here my entire career. And I just want to say a few thank yous. First, thank you to my teammates here, my offensive line, and the coaches, the staff here. They've made this season absolutely amazing, and I've loved every minute of it, and I thank you guys for that. Second, I want to thank my parents that are here, and I also want to thank my wife. Without her, this wouldn't be possible. There's no way I could do this without her. I also want to say thank you to God. He's truly blessed me and truly blessed all of us. And I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to play this game. And finally, I want to thank you, fans. You guys have been awesome. You guys have really taken my family in and made this home for us. And for that, we appreciate it. And you guys are the greatest fans ever. Thank you.
Oh, another loud ovation for Brad Meester. He is a self-proclaimed country boy from Iowa. Mom and dad here. His wife, Jamie, gives a salute to, of course, raising their 6 daughters. And now they'll hang out in Jacksonville for the next year or so and then head home to Iowa where they just completed a new home. Brad Meester will play his career finale next week on the road at Indianapolis. Brian, will send it back up to you.
All right, Brent, thanks so much. We appreciate it. You know, as an offensive lineman, you absolutely have to have perspective on a guy who plays more than 200 games at that position. I mean, it's not like he's, no offense, a kicker or a wide receiver. You're talking about a guy that takes a beating in the middle of the line every game. 208 career starts. Next week, 209.
Guy's a stud.
Yeah.
No, there's no other word to use. He's a stud. Play that long at that position, that physical, the grind, interior offensive line, fight through nicks and bruises and injuries and surgeries through the years, and just to continue to show up day in and day out. I think the one word I think of when I think of Brad Meester is consistency. The guy was consistent, and that is so valuable as an offensive lineman. It's so valuable as a professional. When your coaches and your teammates know who you are and what you're going to do, and they can count on it day in and day out, week in and week out, and year out, that is so valuable to the organization. It might not be the guy that's the flashiest or gets recognized the way maybe he should, but in that locker room, in those meeting rooms when coaches and general managers and scouts sit down and talk about guys they need to build a franchise, Brad Meester, that type of guy is at the top of the list. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he got to do it on his own time, and he made this decision. I'll say it again. I think he has football left in him. What he's done this year is truly remarkable. He's a leader. He's a great example for a young team, and I wish him the best. He is one of the great Jaguars of all time and has represented this franchise, this organization, both he, his wife Jamie, and his six daughters in a tremendous way at the highest level, and I'm proud to have played next to him, proud to call him a friend, and proud that he's a part of the organization. I am as well.
You know, we spent a lot of time this year talking about the Jaguars' need to draft a quarterback in the future at that position. Center is almost as important, and you're talking about a guy now who's been here so long, we almost take him for granted. That's going to be a critical move for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley in the offseason to find his replacement.
Well, that's one of the reasons I, you know, love to get him back another year, because I still think he's a guy who can play. And now, listen, this team has a lot of holes, a lot of areas they need to improve. I don't think that's any secret. I think we've talked about that. And now you have to add one more in that center. And not that Brad was obviously the long-term answer or anything. I think everyone knew that. But, boy, he did a nice job this year. And the way he did it, you thought, man, maybe he'd come back one more year. But it was time. Brad knew it was time, and I respect that. A guy knows when he's given everything he can mentally and physically to this great game, and no one can question what he's given. It's a great scene watching him walk off Everbank Field one last time as a Jacksonville Jaguar in the Jaguar jersey.
All right, time now for a quick look at the numbers through our Comcast Business Fast Stats Check. Here are the numbers that matter the most. The Titans ran for 182, the Jaguars only 63, and the Jaguars couldn't convert on third down today like they did last week against Buffalo. They were only 3 of 11. When you all boil it down, the Jaguars' inability to get the Titans off the field or to sustain a drive in the second half is the difference.
Well, it was a concern coming into this game, stopping the run for me, only because you have Brandon Diedrich's going to have to play a lot more snaps than he ever has. No Roy Miller, who, even though he was beat up the last half of the season, has played like a man. I mean, he's tough. You're going to get meaning now. Avery Jones is going to have to play more reps. Jordan Miller, who's coming off the practice squad, is going to have to play a lot more reps. Now you have Russell Allen and Geno Hayes out. Means John Lotulelei is going to start, and you're going to start JT Thomas or Leroy Reynolds. So you have now four guys who are playing the majority of the game in your front seven or a significant part of the game. Run fits become an issue, and we saw that today.
They did a good job. First half, second half, they just couldn't hold up, and Chris Johnson and Sean Green were able to find some yardage. Chad Henne finishes the day 24 of 34, 237. He had two touchdowns, the interception on the final offensive play, passer rating 97.3. Leading target for him today in terms of both catches and yards was Mike Brown, 5 for 71 and a touchdown. Mercedes Lewis, 4 for 50 and a touchdown. The guy we want to point out to you, Brad Meester. Last game at Everbank Field, first career reception, 1 for 9 to set up first and goal, and then Mercedes Lewis caught a touchdown pass on the very next play. Maurice Jones-Drew returned to action with a hamstring, 13 attempts, 45 yards, 3.5 per carry. Jordan Todman, 6 attempts, only 6 yards a week after going for 109. For the Titans, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 17 of 26, 181, touchdown, a pick, 82.4, his passer rating. Ned Washington was really the guy that did the damage today. 6 for 117 and a touchdown for Tennessee. Sean Green, 19 for 91 and a touchdown. Chris Johnson, 22 for 90. And a 4.1 per carry average for the Tennessee Titans.
I think that says it all right there. I mean, listen, they ran the ball. They were effective. They chewed up clock. They stayed on the field in the second half. I think it was only, what, 6 plays the Jaguars had in the third quarter?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
not
very many. The bottom line is they weren't on the field, whatever the number was. Listen, if you can't stop the run, it's hard to win in this league because teams can control the tempo. And the pass worried me more than the run. We talked about at the beginning of the game. But still, you worry about the young guys' run fits. And not only the run fits as far as from a technical standpoint, but the fatigue level. These guys were asked to do something they have never done in their life. as an NFL player. Play significant time. Your body is not ready for that. I mean, it's hard. There's anxiety. There's first-term jitters. There's wear and tear that the human body is not used to, that you haven't experienced till you've been out there. I mean, guys like Roy Miller, they know what it's like. You know, Russell Allen, Geno Hayes, they've done it. You know, that's why Cindric Marks is amazing to be able to play 65 plays a game. I mean, he gets it. Avery Jones and Jordan Miller and John
Lotulelei
and those guys, I mean, JT Thomas and Laurie Reynolds, I mean, nothing against them. I think they're going to be good players. But they just haven't done it yet, and it's hard.
Do you bring Roy Miller back next year?
110%.
Do you bring Geno Hayes back next year?
Yeah, right now, I mean, I think you do.
So do you bring him back next week?
Oh, no, I think Geno maybe because he tried to go. I mean, I just look at Roy and the body language and knowing what that shoulder feels like. Yeah. And I don't know this, whether he does or not, so we have no inside information. But if he has to have surgery, then no. I said this on the show. Any guy who you think is a starter or you need for next year – that has to have surgery, you shut them down now and you get the surgery ASAP so they're ready for the offseason program. Well, if that's Roy, then that's what he needs to do.
Gus talked about that at the news conference last Monday and pretty much said they expect that Roy's going to have something done in the offseason. You know, the extent of that, we do not know.
Well, whatever it is, if he has to go under the knife, then let's get it done sooner than later because that guy's a man. Well, that's a grown man playing. I mean, he is tough. He's big. He's nasty. He brings something to this front seven. And him healthy, I mean, he played pretty well on one arm for quite a bit of the season. Him healthy is a different guy.
20-16, Titans beat the Jaguars today. Jaguars finished 1-7 at home for the second straight year, though we saw much improved play.
You know what? You know, there was much improved play this, you know, from a lot of guys. I mean, you look at what they came in with. You know, on offensively, this focus, you had young receivers and you had guys that hadn't a lot of play, and they did a nice job of trying to get things going. It waned in the second half and the fourth quarter as well. Let's go down to Jeff Logman, who has the first conversation with Gus Bradley.
All right, thank you, Tony. Gus, certainly a challenging game for you as a coaching staff. The number of guys that you were playing with today that weren't on the active roster leading into this week, and then also you lost some guys in the course of the game.
Yeah, you know, that part, that can happen in a game. We knew going in that some other guys were going to get opportunities, and it was their chance to shine. And you saw some glimpses of it. You know, Lamar made a nice grab. Jordan Miller had to move in and get even more reps than we anticipated. So I'm sure we'll take a look at film and see some things that they did really well.
And the ability to not stop the run like you guys were doing there for quite some time. I know you always kind of emphasize yards per carry average. The Titans had a yards per carry average probably more than you would like. And you guys didn't run the football like you have been the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you know what? And they did. We, you know, some of the things that maybe we counted on in weeks past, you know, we didn't get consistently. So, you know, we made some adjustments and we tried to make some changes based on personnel that was in. And, you know, we just weren't consistent at stopping it. I think they had 4.1 out of, you know, 180 yards out of 40-some carries. And, you know, when a team can feel like they can run the ball like that, that puts you in a tough spot.
How much does the blocked extra point change the complexion of that game? Late in that game, you choose to go for it on fourth down by 4 points in that situation. Maybe you just would have went, kicked the field goal, and tied it up.
It could have happened. You know, but that's why every play is so critical in this game. It doesn't matter if it's a first and 10 run, a third down conversion, or a third down stop, or a field goal. And, you know, we're learning that. We're learning how the importance of every play. And sometimes it just takes one little breakdown, and, you know, and they execute it. Give them credit.
Brad Meester's last game, a tight end screen to Brad Meester. That was cool.
Yeah, you know what? He's done so much for this team, this organization. You know, it just seemed fitting to put that in for him. And plus, we felt like we had a chance to score with it. And we got close, but didn't get all the way in. But what a credit to him as a person and as a teammate.
And the injured guys, Brandon Dedrick left the game, Dwayne Grotz, any thing to report on with them or anybody else?
Yeah, Dedrick, we understand preliminary is a dislocated elbow, so he did not return the game. Grotz, ankle, similar to the one like he had before, and Ace had his finger, but he came back and played.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Gus. You just heard head coach Gus Bradley talking about the injuries. That was the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good.
You're listening to the Jaguar Radio Network. We'll be right back after this. Our broadcast this afternoon is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Jeff Loggeman has our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP with him. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, in Moultrie, Georgia, Cranford Jewelry, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Jeff, take it away.
All right, thank you, Brian. Brad, last home game, what was it like from an emotional standpoint?
It was definitely an emotional game. I really didn't know what it was going to be like because I really didn't totally know what was going to happen. But obviously when I got introduced in the beginning of the game and even some of the stuff when I walked on the field for pregame, it really kind of touched me realizing that was the last time I was going to get run through that tunnel. It really was. And so it did get emotional. There's no doubt. And but it was a great game, though. It was one I'll always remember.
And a special moment because before the game, you were the only Jaguar introduced. And then after the game, a nice celebration of 14 years here at home.
Yeah, that was awesome. That meant a lot to me to have the entire team and the fans stay afterwards and to present me with the jerseys and just that recognition. That means a lot. It really does. I mean, it really touched me that they would do something like that for me. Means quite a bit.
What touched me was you got a play design for you on a tight end screen. They bring in Drew Nowak. He inserts a guard. Jock McClendon moves to center. You move out to tight end, and you were just telling me you were surprised that they didn't kind of figure it out.
I was a little bit nervous about it because, I don't ever report as eligible. Never in 14 years has that ever happened. So I was just afraid that, we did a whole presentation on me like 10 minutes before that I report eligible, they'd figure it out, but they didn't catch on to it. Then obviously my next nervous point was catching the ball. I said, I got to look this ball in and catch it. Then I was just glad I was able to get a few yards. I got 9 yards, which was awesome.
And that play was designed to really go from the tight red area inside the 10, right, to where you would have had an opportunity to score a touchdown.
Yeah, we were hoping to be able to do it in the tight red so that I could get a touchdown. We were a little bit further out. I just wasn't quite able to make it, but I'm excited that they gave me that opportunity. That was awesome for them to do that. That means a lot to get a chance to catch the ball in an NFL game. I was able to get 9 yards, get a first down. That was quite a memorable moment for me.
Why didn't you score?
I got stuck behind my tackle for a little bit. I wasn't reading the defense very well, where to go, and so I took off for the inside. A couple guys were waiting there, and I just ran right into them. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any moves left by then. I was kind of exhausted also. It was a good drive that series. We called that thing, and I was like, oh, I was pretty exhausted. So I was glad I got 9 yards alone.
Were you happy that they called a timeout after that play to catch your breath?
Yes, I was kind of glad. Well, there was two options. Because I was eligible, I was either going to have to come out or they're going to have to take a timeout. I was glad they took the timeout. I did need the rest. I was pretty I was excited, but I was also exhausted at the same time.
Brad, congratulations on 14 years. I mean, holy cow, Mr. Jaguar, and look forward to next week. And obviously next week you're going to be closer to Iowa. 40-something family members was talking to your wife, Jamie, before the game. So another emotional week coming up.
It definitely is. It's going to be my last NFL game completely. And, I'll be able to have my entire family there. Everybody's coming, cousins, everybody. I'm having some people that are coming, that good friends of ours from Jacksonville, that are going to fly up there for my last game. It's going to be a moment I'll always remember. And it's going to be great being able to play my final game in front of my family.
All right. Thank you, Brad, and congratulations. Right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Brad Meester there. And, just a thought. And it's not just his last NFL game, Tony. It's his last football game. You're talking about a guy who's been playing since he was 6. This has been his life. It's not just the NFL career, college, high school, peewee.
And it's
a long road that comes to an end next week in Indy.
Well, and it's a game that there's no old timers. It's not like baseball where you can go play an old timer game where you go.
No, it's it.
This is it. I mean, it's over. And listen, as a guy who was not able to finish his career on his own terms. I mean, you live with that the rest of your life going, man, I wish I could play one more or go do it again, because you miss it because that's what you were made to do and it's part of you. But you move, listen, you all move on, but it's still always part of you. You love it. The smell of the grass and you're there. The one thing Brad has is he got to call it on his own terms. But I still think at the end of the day, he'll be ready to move on. And I know Brad has great plans and he's a guy who's well-rounded and doing different things. But it will be emotional because one of the things that he was made to do and that he loved to do, he'll no longer do anymore, whether it was his choice or someone else's. In this case, it's his. It'll be an emotional time. But I wish Brad the best.
From a guy who is just ending his career to a guy who's just beginning, Jeff has John Cyprian. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. John, before we talk about the game, what was it like and what's it like being a young player to watch a Brad Meester in a day like today to where they're honoring a guy that's played for so long and played well?
I mean, to me, it seems almost heroic, you know. It's a great tribute, I mean, to let him be introduced by himself, you know. For all these years, you know, offensive linemen really don't get any love like that. And then for him to have a play or whatever, cut for a first down, then at the end where, you know, you get a tribute and just honor a dude who's, you know, worked so hard and had to be an example for so many years, you know. So, I mean, something I look up to. And after this year, I know it's hard to go through a whole season. And for him to do it 14, you know, even though it's the first year me meeting him, I have a tremendous respect for him.
Now more specifically about the game, you guys were certainly like a mash unit on defense. Holy cow, the number of different players that you guys had to play today because of guys going on injury reserve. And then guys got hurt through the course of the game today. But you guys weren't quite able to get it done.
Yeah, it's something, it's part of the game, you know. Injuries occur, and it's been a long season. And unfortunately, dudes suffered some injuries. I pray that they get healthy as fast as possible. But, you know, I have as much faith in LeRoy. I have much faith in JT, you know, for them to get the job done. And, you know, I just told them one play at a time. I was there before, you know, making the first start. And I know how it is. So things I can expect. I just gave them that little bit of advice. Let them get focused. Take one play at a time. But, you know, we played hard. I know that I gave my best effort to try to make the defense as good as possible and as physical as possible and communicate as much. You know, we didn't get it done this time, but we will and we have time.
Last week you missed the game because of quad. You came into this weekend's game questionable. How did the leg end up holding up?
It ended up holding pretty good, you know. It's kind of sore right now, which is expected. But, you know, it's a game and dudes get banged up throughout the week. I'm just happy that it was only 1 week, you know, looking at the positives of the situation, and I was able to play and at least help the team.
All right, thank you, Jonathan.
Appreciate you.
All right, John Cyprian.
You know, listening to him, that guy's a leader. I mean, he's a young guy, but the fact how he communicates and his perspective on his role already is quite remarkable. He said, listen, he understands he's a leader in communication and how he plays, and I love the fact that he says, listen, we didn't get it done, but we played hard, and they did. And we're going to be better, and we're going to be back, and we will get it next time. That's the attitude you want to hear out of a young guy. And I just get the sense, and I don't know Jonathan Cyprian very well at all, but I get the sense he's a guy who gets what his role is bigger than just playing strong safety, but that he is going to be part of the foundation of this defense and is going to be looked to as one of the leaders to get things going defensively. And I love the perspective. I love how he communicates it. And he's a heck of a player. Now, listen, you can have all the communication and all that kind of stuff. If you can't do it on the field, none of that matters. And so it's nice that he has that. Plus, he's a dang good player and gets it done as physically as well.
Listening to him is impressive. Standing in front of him and talking to him when he looks you in the eye and you can see, it's even more impressive. He's a special young man. The Jaguars really wanted him back in the draft last April, which is why they held on to that first pick in the second round. They knew he was going to be something that they were going to want to have in their future. All right, time for the Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. This one's easy, isn't it?
Oh, come on. It's Meester catching the ball.
All right, here you go. Bud Light play of the game, folks. Split receivers, two tight ends. One back is Maurice Jones-Drew. Drops to throw, fires it to Brad Meester, and Meester's got it at the 10. The big man makes a move to the inside. He's got a first down. Brad Meester to the 4-yard line.
Oh,
how about that?
Beautiful.
Brad Meester went and lined up outside and got the screen. It was a great play. It's our Bud Light play of the game. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go. So for Brent Martineau, Scott Kushner, Joe Fortunato, our entire broadcast crew, Merry Christmas, Mr. Bisselli.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Hey, a lot of Jaguars are hurt, had to play hurt today. Brian Sexton sucking it up in the booth today with the cold. Good job, big man.
I can drive home. I'm not sure all those guys can. Thanks, Bisselli. Appreciate it. We're going to send it to J.P. Shadrick and the entire crew downstairs. They're with you after this break on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Bud Light salutes Jaguars fans and all their superstitions, like the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys, and the fans who sit next to the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. You know that watching the game is not a game, and your Sunday morning routine is a necessary ritual. We salute the dedicated fans who have to cover their eyes and miss all the biggest plays, and the ones whose lucky seats are in their in-laws' living rooms. You're not fooled by those so-called statistics. You've mastered the science of superstition. Thank you for crossing your fingers, for knocking on wood, for refusing to hang out with the bad luck guy on game day. Jaguars fans do whatever it takes. It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for all the fans and all they do, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through EverBank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/JagsCard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local EverBank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/JagsCard. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Tailgate checklist. Cooler. Check. Chips. Check. Hot dogs. Check. Jaguars hoodie. Check. Insurance. Check. This season, protect your team with insurance from Auto Owners Insurance. Keep everything you value safe, sound, and secure. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. The unhappy final at EverBank Field. Titans 20, Jaguars 16. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman in the HannityAutos.com studios at EverBank Field. You know, had some momentum early today, Marco, but what happened?
I tell you, man, you know, similar to last game, last week, you know, had a really good first half, got off to a good start offensively and defensively, where specifically defensively they were able to hold them against the run in that first half. The second half, the gates were just let open. They put up 114 yards in one half rushing the ball, the Titans did. So I think that contributed. Then some costly penalties. Those two penalties, although it was only two, they came at times right there on the goal line, gave them a new set of downs.
We've talked about it all year.
Yeah, then the PI that, you know, also gave them another opportunity, kept a drive alive. You can't have those penalties. Those between the rushing and the penalties, defensively put them in position to score points.
Let's get to the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Number one, we mentioned the momentum early, but where exactly did this game start to go wrong for the Jags?
Well, you know, I just mentioned a few things defensively, but offensively, in that first half, they were able to move the ball, got in the end zone twice. In the second half, no production offensively. They weren't able to sustain drives off the field, three and out, too many three and outs, put that defense back on the field. They started allowing the Titans to run the ball, and they were able to hold the ball. So with that, combining those things, we got the turnover that we talked about in the first half. Other than that, there was nothing else that was done, the big plays, in order to get the Titans off the field. So you combine that, the two costly penalties, allowing them to run the ball, offense not being able to sustain drives, there you have it. 14 points in the second half.
I'll ask you for one thing, though, Marco. I mean, that's like five things.
I mean, but it takes with this type, with the Jaguars, it's going to be a bunch of things. You can say this team has improved enough to where – it's going to be a lot of things to stop them from not doing well, and you know, when it snows, it's a blizzard for them, and that's what happened in the second half.
Finally, or actually, number two coming up. Oh, that was only number one.
That was only number one.
I'm losing track, and I haven't written down number two. Lots of new faces today for the Jags. Injury bug bit them, of course, the last couple of weeks. But of the new guys, who stood out to you?
Well, you know, this is not a new guy. It was Mike Brown. You know, he was put in that starting role. He was big. You know, he showed a lot of, you know, the strength and the power, being open, being a go-to wide receiver today. You know, he ended up with, what, five catches, 72 yards in that touchdown. I mean, that was a big boy touchdown, running through three defenders to get in the game. Although he's not a new guy, new face, he's still a young guy. First year in the league, I think there was a stat, it was his first time this season actually catching a pass in the NFL. I have to say entirely, you know, he was really impressive today, really impressive.
Final question, Brad Meester Day. What was the best part of the day? Intro, during the game, after the game? What stands out to you? Played with him?
Yeah, you know, I got to say his catch, man. You figure, you know, he's never caught. He's touched the ball on every play, snapping the ball backwards to the darn quarterback. Now, this time, he was graced with all of his protection, and all the things he's done for the quarterback, kept the quarterback in standing upright with a play. I mean, a nice tight end screen and busted open. You know, it looked like Maurice Jones-Drew, actually. How about that?
Did he now?
Yeah, he did. Running the back of linemen. You see, you know what? It was an opportunity for him to get back, you know, the dude to what's been happening to him. Running backs running into his back, you know. So it was, I would have to say that was probably the best part of the whole day for Meester, in my opinion. And I'm sure he would say the same, getting an opportunity to run the ball.
Tried to follow his tackle, tried to cut right, but couldn't go anywhere.
Just did like all backs do, running the back of the darn lineman.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game and answers as well. Unhappy final at Everbank Field. Final home game. This one goes to the Titans, 20-16. When we come back, we'll listen to the highlights from this one. The Metro PCS Sexton Summary is coming up. 20-16 final, Titans over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame continues right now.
Final score from Everbank Field, 20-16. The Titans over the Jags. Team split the season series. The Titans are now 6-9. Jags are 4-11. The finale of this season coming up next week for the Jaguars at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis against the Colts. Let's listen now to the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights from today's game. Opening drive for Tennessee, a 45-yard field goal for Baronis, 3-0 early in the first quarter. On the next drive, the Jaguars moving down the field. They're in the red zone. And for the first time in 14 years, Brad Meester checks in as an eligible receiver. That's what he told us in the postgame just a few moments ago. It was his first time ever. He gets into the play to set up a first and goal.
Drops to throw, fires it to Brad Meester, and Meester's got it at the 10. The big man makes a move to the inside. He's got a first down. Brad Meester to the 4-yard line. Oh, how about that?
Beautiful.
Brad Meester went and lined up outside and got the screen.
They bring in the other offensive lineman, Nowak, and he plays inside. Meester's an eligible tight end to the right side, and all it is a tight end screened in the middle.
And he ran it great. I wish he would have scored.
How beautiful is that?
Yeah, it set up a first and goal. It ended up with a Henny to Lewis 4-yard touchdown in the corner, 7-3.
Three tight ends right, and a man in motion. And now they're changing everything up. They got two backs and two receivers. Here's a quick throw to Mercedes Lewis. He's got it. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Perfect call, perfect design, man coverage with Mercedes on the right side against the safety Bernard Pollard. Last week, remember, they had one-on-one on the left side and they didn't throw it to him. Penny did the smart thing this time.
I got just one simple question.
We'll have to see what that question was. 7-3, the score at that point. Lewis with a touchdown in four straight games for the first time in his career. Baronis hit a 52-yard field goal for Tennessee early in the second, made it 7-6, Jacksonville. The Jags would drive right back down the field, starting at their own 40. The kickoff was out of bounds. Two-minute drill starting at the 40. Ended up with a Henny to Mike Brown. Touchdown from 7 yards out.
Here's a quick turn and a throw. Mike Brown's got it, looking for the end zone. Makes a man miss and reaches. He's got it. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Extra point blocked. Jaguars lead 13-6 in the halftime locker room. Scobie. Off a ball interception, Scobie would hit a 36-yard field goal early in the third, made it 16-6. So the Jags up two scores, but then things turned for the worst. After the field goal, ensuing drive capped off for Tennessee. This is Green from 1 yard out for a touchdown to get him back within one score.
From inside the 1 yard line, the fullback slides in motion. Fitzpatrick hands it off to Sean Green running left, and he spins and gets to the end zone for a Tennessee touchdown. Their first of the game.
16-13 at that point. Jags go 3-and-out on the ensuing drive, punt it away. 9 plays, 73 yards later. It ends on a 30-yard touchdown pass. Fitzpatrick to Washington.
Patrick looks at the safety backing away. Play action this time. Steps up into the pocket. Now turns and launches the ball. He's got Nate Washington all alone. Touchdown.
20-16 the score at that point. Tennessee with the lead, but the Jags did get the ball back. About a minute 15 to go. No timeouts. But the interception sealed it for the Tennessee Titans.
Henny back to throw. Turns and throws over the middle, and this one is intercepted.
Wow.
A one-handed interception. by George Wilson, the safety, and that'll do it.
That will do it. Final score at Everbank Field, the Titans 20, Jaguars 16. Titans are 6-9, Jags are 4-11. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Final score, 2016, Titans over the Jags in Week 16. When we come back, Marco Coleman back with us. Offensive, defensive players of the game, and more. This is the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame rolls along inside the HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Final score unhappy today. Titans over the Jags 20-16. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Okay, let's start off with an offensive player of the game. You know, early in this game, Henny was great at half. You know, the numbers were there. Moving the offense down the field, some young receivers starting to come through. Second half didn't go so well for this Jags offense. Some three and outs, six and out, a turnover on downs, interception sealed the game. Where do you start on offense?
I'm actually going to say Henny. I'm going to give him offensively to play the game. You know, you figure come out, have Taylor, a journeyman as a practice squad player. This is a guy that hasn't even had an opportunity to play on anybody's team. Right. He had a good day. You know, the passes he made to Brown and to Taylor, the back shoulder throws, throwing them open, finding Mercedes Lewis from time to time to get him get him really involved with the offense. I think in the second half it was a big problem of him, ineffectability of the offense was they weren't able to run the ball. Henny, I think, did the things that he had to do. 97.3 quarterback rating, 71% of his passes were completed, 237 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good day for a quarterback. And I think he done the things necessary, which, you know, he's a little limited, of course, to do for them to win the game. You know, I would have to say Henny offensively had a pretty good day.
Let's go on the defensive side. As we mentioned earlier, a lot of guys out on defense. There were a couple of game-time decisions. Hayes couldn't go with a bad knee. Roy Miller's been playing through a ripped-up shoulder all year and just couldn't make it happen today. He's been playing on one arm really all season long, which is pretty amazing. So you had some new faces in there. Dedrick's been around but new here. Mm-hmm. You had another rookie playing linebacker in the place of Hayes. JT Thomas got the start today. So a lot of new faces on defense. Five rookies started today.
Right.
Defensive player for you.
I'm going to say Cyprian. I mean, you asked a lot of your safety, especially in this game, considering those guys being out. You saw him in the box a lot more than normal, and he's usually down there quite a bit. But today they had to have him down more because of the guys that were missing, those linebackers and such. But then, too, you ask him to be involved with that passing game. I thought he did a pretty good job considering his role had to step up and the maturity of him. Yeah, I think that Tony made mention of it a little bit earlier. I think we do see the makings of a really good, strong leader in that on that defense in Cyprian. And today he had a pretty good day.
I'm interested to see how he steps up next year, you know, after a whole offseason here as a 1 year in. He'll be a second-year guy with a little more confidence maybe about him just in his day-to-day walking around. That's going to be awesome to see.
Yeah, you know, he had a lot of plays this year. So, you know, that is going to bode well for him next season. Now it's not going to be – he'll recognize things a lot faster. He's an aggressive player. He's a really good tackler. Now once he has that extra step that he can now anticipate, I think we'll see a pretty outstanding player next season.
I didn't mean to say that he doesn't have confidence. I meant he'll have a year of experience to back it up. Let's put it that way. That makes a big difference.
I mean, I'm sure he – confidence in himself and his ability, but now confidence in what he sees,
right.
I'm not sure that he actually has that because every week was going to be something new and something different. So I'm sure he didn't have that confidence in what he was seeing. Now, I'm sure as a player, his ability – he sounds like a pretty confident guy, so I don't think that was an issue.
Pretty good draft pick. We'll take it. At least so far, 1 year in.
Get a couple more. Need a few more of those.
Anything outside of the stat sheet stand out to you today? That's something we might have missed?
Mark? Well, you know, those guys that came in that didn't get they haven't played a lot this season. JT Thomas, I thought he did play pretty well while he was in the game. Avery Jones, he came in, got a sack. He had played pretty well, was pretty stout in there in place of Miller. Those guys played real well. Then Reynolds, he came back in also off of his suspension. I thought he did a good job, made a couple of tackles and was really involved. You know, overall, you got to be pleased with the way this young football team over the course of the season have embraced what the coaching staff is trying to get done and going out in the field and playing to the best of their ability. I think they've maximized all the talent They've gotten everything out of all the guys that they had. Now you add a few more pieces, you know, that may be a little bit higher in the, on the talent scale. Next season, I think it's going to be a team that's going to be able to compete in a division that's really not as strong as we probably thought it was with Indianapolis, that's for sure.
They're within one score without any players. I mean, guys are all banged up. Their starting lineups all just ripped to pieces, and they're in these games.
And they're still in the game. I mean, Pretty amazing all season long. Yeah, so you had guys like Mercedes that is a leader on this team, come up with some big plays and play really well. Henny, it says a lot about him as a professional, coming out and connecting on these balls and doing a good job with these young wide receivers. How about our guy Denard Robinson today?
Nice burst.
I mean, his speed, once they figure out a way to get him in and he's acclimated to his role even better, he's going to be a significant part because you see the athleticism that he has. He's going to be a strong weapon, just like how they probably envision, you know, going down the road.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. When we come back, we'll look through the statistics for this one. Unhappy final, 20-16 Titans over the Jaguars at Everbank Field. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today on your way home. Final score at Everbank Field, Titans 20, Jaguars 16. The Titans are 6-9. The Jags are 4-11. Titans avenge the 29-27 win back in week 10 for the Jags at LP Field. They split the season series. We'll see as the next few weeks go along what happens in Nashville with that coaching situation with Munchak on the hot seat anyway, no matter the result today. Of course, the Jaguars building, 4-11 record, and the first year under head coach Gus Bradley. Let's look at some of the stats that stand out today, starting with the team statistics, Marco. Overall yardage today, Titans 346, Jags with 289, but you look on the ground, it's another issue today. The run game for Tennessee, boy, it really stood out. 182 yards on the ground for this team today. Second week in a row, the Jags' defense has struggled stopping the run, something Bob Babich emphasized in his press conference on Wednesday. That was a problem last week. They had done well after the bye week. 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, you figure you have to take in some consideration that you were missing some guys that are significant in the stopping that run. Miller, Hayes, these guys are intricate parts of that running game or stopping the running game for the Jags. But at the same time, these guys got to do it. They got to do better. 114 yards in the second half. The first half, they did a pretty decent job of holding them. But that second half, it really got a little crazy.
Got the lead, killed some clock, got some.
Yeah, they held that. That helped. That contributed to the time of possession.
Jaguars rushing for only 63 yards. That hasn't happened under 100 in a long time for this team.
Yeah,
a little while.
And the exact opposite happened. You figured the running game has started making some waves. Maurice has started getting his 100-yard games and things of that nature. Last week he didn't make it. He didn't play last week, basically. But Totman, shouldered a load. But combined them together, you would have thought it would have been a better rushing day, but only held to 63. Everything was thrown on Henny's shoulders today. The passing game, you had, 34 passes versus 21 runs. It was a heavy pass day today.
226 yards passing for the Jags, 164 for Tennessee. Penalties today, one for, not many penalties on both sides. But as you said, some key penalties in this game for the Jags. That didn't really help the cause at all. Let's go individually now. Let's go start off with Henny. As you said, you like him as the offensive player of the game. Statistically, of course, stats never lie, right? Henny, 24-34, 237 yards, two touchdowns, one interception at the very end, a rating of 97.3 is, nice and all, but a losing effort today.
Yeah, you really would like to have won the game, but you have to be happy with the way Henny came out and played. It was 34 passes versus 21 runs. So they put the game in the hands of the quarterback. Brown had an outstanding day. Lewis, his receptions were big. He found those mismatches in the end zone on that touchdown he had, finally got him back out there wide. And that's a mismatch all day long. You even saw MJD spread out wide and actually going out and running routes. So, it's obvious that they came out as a team offense to see exactly what the offense, what the passing game was going to look like against the Tennessee Titans.
Receiving, Mike Brown, 5 receptions, 71 yards, a touchdown. Lewis, 4 for 50 yards, including a long of 30. The nice catch over the guy's head
and a touchdown.
That's what 6-6 does for you.
It was pretty nice. It really was. You get, why not throw it to him?
All day.
A couple weeks in a row. Yeah. Taylor, 4 for 45. Jones-Drew, 4 for 24. Sanders, 4 for 20 yards. Thomas, 1 for 13. Meester, 1 for 9. Doesn't even look right. Todman, 1 for 5 today. So a handful of guys stepping up in a place they needed to step up and made some plays today.
Yeah, and you figure offensively it was there's a lot of things that were going taking place too. The shifts, the motions. I mean, getting a lot of guys involved with the passing game. You know, they put it all out on the table. I mean, and why not? You're 4-10 coming in. You know, try a bunch of different things. And giving some guys those opportunities with Taylor out there and with Brown to see exactly what they're made of. You know, getting prepared for next season as you go and compete to see who's going to be your wide receiving core next year.
Rushing for the Jags, Maurice Jones-Drew was a game-time decision and a go today. 13 carries, 45 yards. Did not get in the end zone. Denard Robinson had that one 11-yard burst and held onto the football. Very nice recovery from a week ago. Todman, 6 attempts for 6 yards. Henny had one for one. On the other side, notable for Tennessee, Sean Green, 19 carries, 91 yards, and the touchdown. Johnson, 22 carries, 90 yards. No scores. Fitzpatrick, 3 for 1 today. He had 181 yards passing. But as we said, the run game big for Tennessee. They get the win over the Jaguars 20-16 here at Everbank Field. When we come back, a look around Week 16 in the National Football League. A new record for Peyton Manning today. We'll update you on what happened in Houston with the Broncos after this. Jaguars postgame rolls along on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com. Call 1-800-MILITARY or contact your local Geico agent today. Final score at Everbank Field, 20-16. Titans improved to 6-9 with a win. Jags fall to 4-11 in the loss in the home finale. Let's look around the National Football League scoreboard in Week 16. The Texans' losing skid is now 13 games. They're 2-13 after a 37-13 loss to the Broncos. Peyton Manning set a new single-season touchdown mark today with one of his 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns. And the Broncos end up running away with the game in Houston, 37-13. Other finals today, rain-swamped Charlotte, the site for the Panthers win over the Saints, 17-13. So the Panthers are in the playoffs. A late touchdown by Cam Newton got it done, 17-13. The Panthers are now 11-4, and they get the win over the division rival Saints. The Cowboys come from behind and beat the Redskins in Washington, 24-23, the final score at FedEx Field. Jets over the Browns, 24-13. That's a final in New York. The Rams beat the Bucks today, 23-13, up in St. Louis. Stacy over 100 yards in that one. The Colts, 23-7 winners at Arrowhead over the Chiefs. Chiefs are now 11-4. You might see those two again in the postseason. The Bengals hammered the Vikings today, 42-14, 14 points in each of the first 3 quarters of the game for the Bengals are now 10-5. The Bills without E.J. Manuel this week, injured earlier in the week, swelling in that knee. So the Bills without him go out and beat the Dolphins, 19-0. Dolphins blanked in Buffalo today, and the Fish are in trouble for their playoff hopes. Games that are active in the NFL. First quarter, under 5 to play. Patriots over the Ravens, 14-0 in Baltimore. Chargers lead the Raiders 3-0 late in the first. The Packers over the Steelers, 7-0, under 2 to play in the first quarter. Early second quarter in Seattle, the Seahawks lead the Cardinals 3-0. And early in the second in Detroit, Lions and Giants tied 3-3. Nightcap tonight in Philadelphia, the Bears and the Eagles. Once again, the final score at Everbank Field today, the Titans over the Jags 20-16. And when we come back, final segment of Jaguars postgame, Marco Coleman's final thoughts after the Jags fall at home the final time in 2013. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by PRI Productions. Final score for the final time at Everbank Field in 2013, the Jags fall at home 20-16 to the Titans. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Tough one today, but guess what? You go on the road in the division. against the division champions to finish out the season in Indianapolis.
It's going to be a tough one. If they play Andrew Luck quite a bit, you know, recognizing that they'll have that playoff game that following week, maybe a few starters and anyone with at least some little ailments that might not participate. So, you know, go to Indy and have to play in Indianapolis is always a tough task. So I'm sure the Jags will be prepared. They've actually played pretty good. They've been road warriors this year. They've played their best ball on the road. You know, 1-8 at home. Got to do better with that next season. But, you know, you got to like the way they've been playing on the road. So we'll see how things go.
Marco, well done.
Thank you, sir.
As always.
And you look awfully dapper. Good job on the field.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Marco Coleman. For those locally, the Jaguars Scoreboard Show is coming up with Jay Gray and Marco Coleman next week. Jags at the Colts, Senior VP of Communications for the Jags, Dan Edwards. Executive Producer, Jags Radio, Mike Dorward. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Producers, Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. Anchor of Jaguars Pregame, Kevin Rayfuse. Jay Gray is the Jaguars Pregame Reporter. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Once again, the final score for the final time from Everbank Field. Titans 20, Jaguars 16 on the Jaguars Radio Network.